Hi, how are you going?
Very well, thank you. Hoping to start your own supercar team. How's that coming along?
Yeah, early days so far. I had a little look about 6 to 9 months ago, wanting to see if I could potentially do something, but seemed a little bit difficult, and I've sort of put time on my side, and I've had more time to network and communicate with people, chat with people, see the interest that I got from speaking to a few people who I knew from racing when I did race a few years ago. So the interest was there, and I had a lot of people pushing me to do it. So yeah, we started, you know, knocking on some doors and emailing, and I called some old contacts, and so far it's going good. There's obviously so much to do in organising this stuff, so it's very early days at the moment.
Was it just a case of you waking up one morning, having a bit of a dream, going, hey, I wouldn't mind doing this, getting a wild card for Bathurst? Or, as you say, it was, okay, now it's starting to get a bit more serious?
Yeah, so when I left racing, I had no intentions to come back into it, just because I think I was so over it and I really lost my passion for it, because it was so much less racing than what was involved, than what I expected. As in, you know, racing was such a small percentage of what I did in the actual career path that I took, if that makes sense.
Yeah, sure.
And I have got back go-karting, and I went go-karting, and I had so many people who I used to race go-karts with years ago, like I think 8 years ago I was last in a go-kart, and I had so many people coming up to me saying, oh, you know, like, it's a shame you're not in it, and I just got lots of support, and it just made me start thinking about it. So I think being involved back in motorsport softly through go-karts, grassroots, that's where I started.
Mm-hmm.
So many people who I've known have seen me progress and have still kept in contact with me over the years, supporting me and still telling me to do it. I think that's probably one of the main reasons why I thought, you know what, I'm going to try this again. The support's there. There's networks there. I just need to find the right people to do this with, and I'm sure I can make it happen.
Oh, we are looking forward to it. The countdown is on. Now, you mentioned there about go-karts, Renee, getting the start. Well, obviously, a lot of the drivers do start at the go-karts, be it at a fun park or actually at a legitimate race course. For you, obviously, the go-karts was the start. When did you know that, yeah, I can do something with this?
I think the last few years of go-karting, the last two or three, I was extremely competitive. I was probably the top four in Australia consistently. And I think from that, my dad, I had a mechanic at the time, and then we had just signed on a manager to help and support that. So I think it was more the consistent results over the period of time where I thought, okay, you know, where do we go next from here? When I started go-karts, I didn't come from a motorsport family. So that's why we got a manager on board and someone on board to help and support us, because my dad was like, okay, well, we can't keep doing go-karting forever, and I can't keep spending all this money forever for her to just race go-karts around Australia. So we got the manager on board to help, I guess, navigate sponsorship deals and work all of that out for us. So probably the last 2 years of go-karting, it was pretty clear that I was ready to move on.
Now, you retired in 2017, if my memory serves me correct, from supercars?
Yes.
Yep. What do you make of the product now?
I don't really watch supercars much anymore.
Yep.
To be honest, I think it's quite boring. When I used to watch it and I was just out of it, I used to call it the Scott McLaughlin show, because that's all anyone ever spoke about. It was the Penske and Scott McLaughlin show. So I used to call it the Scott McLaughlin show, not supercars, because it was just so exhausting. And I used to feel so sorry for the guys who were having great results. And you could see some of the younger guys who were starting at the back, you know, having 12th or 16th, which was, you know, really good results and outstanding results for like their third or fourth race, but hardly ever got spoken about.
Yep.
And I watch it now, and now they're the ones getting spoken about, and because there's no Scott McLaughlin there. So I used to feel bad that these guys, no one's really probably taken much note of their success until all of a sudden now, 2 or 3 years later, they probably didn't get the credit that they deserved early on. So I think it's quite boring. I think the sport really needs something. Every time I watch it, it's just very, I don't know, repetitive.
Yep.
It's just, it needs some excitement. It needs some intensity. Some races are okay. The rest I can watch a couple laps and I switch off, and then I just watch the highlights at the end, basically.
I know what it needs. I reckon I've worked it out. It needs the Gracie race team. That's what it needs.
Yeah, I think so. I think something history-making, something that people will talk about forever. I mean, people still talk about me racing, and that happened, I don't know, 5, 6 years ago now. And people are still talking about me, and I'm still current. So it definitely needs some spice, that's for sure.
Renee Gracie joins us this afternoon on the Sideline View. Now, you've driven some nice cars throughout your career. Now, I'm a regional radio announcer, so the Datsun 120Y gets a bit of a workout. Dream cars for you. What's model and car that you drive around? Because we see it on your Instagram page. What's the one that you sit there and go, gee, this is really nice?
Yeah, well, I do have my dream car. I have an AMG GTC at the moment sitting in my shed. That was probably one of my dream cars for a very long time when I worked for Mercedes after I left racing. So I was able to tick that off. And honestly, since owning that car, it's sort of, as silly as it sounds, it's a bucket list thing, but mm-hmm. I probably won't buy a nice car ever again. I think I'm someone who likes cars that I can actually like play with and not have to worry about. I think just being like a racer at heart, I want to be able to change things and exhaust and do all this fun stuff to it, where these sports cars have got so many electronics and so many systems in them that you can't really change much because it upsets everything. Yep. So that's probably the biggest eye-opener for me. I think something a little bit less fancy, but something that I can make cool. I've got a Mustang GT and I absolutely love that car, probably as much as the AMG, purely because I can do stuff for it and I've really made it my own over the years of having it. So I think dream cars, I don't really know yet, because I think I want something that I can really make my own and make a flavour that suits me. Yep. And who knows what it will be after the AMG. I'm not sure yet, and I'm sure I'll probably want to buy something because I'll get bored of the AMG sometime soon.
I just had a look at the price of the Mercedes AMG and I can't even afford the front wheel, so that's how it is a lovely car for sure. Now, Renee, female sport is becoming very popular now. We've got cricket, AFLW, and rugby league as well. Motorsport, it's not getting so much love from the female perspective. How can we turn that around?
Yeah, motorsport's an extremely difficult industry to get in. It's being a female and just males as well, but especially females. And I have always been an advocate for the fact that you don't need to have a male and female in motorsport. We shouldn't have one. Mm. The sport should make more effort into improving the environment, making it easier, not giving it to girls and handing things on a silver platter, but inviting them in and putting more effort into having females in race cars, whether that may be through test days and ride days and, you know, inviting girls out to pit crews and mechanics and girls who actually are involved in it that way. Maybe, hey, come sit in the car and take it for a lap and involving them more in the sport so they can share it to their friends, their families. Because maybe some of these girls who do mechanic and do work on the cars do want to race, but they've chosen that option because it's not very easy for them to get in the car. I think a lot more work could be done. I don't think there should be a male and female, like supercars, for example. Yeah. I don't agree with that at all. I think we're very lucky in motorsport that it's one of the only very few, sports in the world where you can actually compete evenly against the men.
Yeah.
I think there's so many things in place. And, you know, motorsport in general, and I've said this before, it's not a very inclusive sport. Mm. If you actually look, in Australia, there's no Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander race car drivers.
Yep.
There's none. I've never, don't know of anybody. There's obviously no females at the moment in supercars. There's no openly gay supercar drivers. Mm. And that's because, and there could be, but it's because of the environment. None of them are ever going to admit it. So it's not an inclusive sport. They don't support women. They don't support Aboriginal Torres Strait people. There's so much more they could be doing across the board, I think personally, as an industry, to support women and other people to come get involved and not just race, but to mechanic and to pit crew and to engineer and stuff like that.
Finally, Renee, just very quickly, I ask this for all of the people that I talk to where they've made it to an elite level, and it's more just towards our younger generation, Renee. Just some advice, because you've made it to the top in the supercars field and as you say, whatever you're doing now and trying to get that team up and running. Just some advice maybe to our younger generation who might be doing karting here in Bendigo and Central Victoria, might be doing some other sports. Just some advice that you might be able to pass on.
I would probably say when I was go-karting racing and quite young coming up through the ranks, the biggest thing that I took from everything was not listening to everybody and listen to the people in your corner who are important, like your mum, your dad, if you've got, you know, a mechanic or a pit crew or a coach. Listen to very few people and the people who are important. And I think don't get lost in what everyone else tells you what you should do. If I spent my time listening to everybody telling me what I should do, I wouldn't be where I am. I listened to the small few people in my circle, and that's what allowed me to get to what I am. So I would just definitely say block off everyone else and the people who are helping you make that circle very small, and trust and listen to them and then follow the process.
Renee Gracie, really do appreciate your time this afternoon on the Sideline View. Can't wait to see the team on the racetrack, and all the best with karting and everything else that you do.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you very much. Renee Gracie there joining us. It's Gold Central Victoria.